This download is the only extract the BBC has of this edition of Desert Island Discs. The presenter was Roy Plumley.
Doris, you come from a theatrical family, don't you?
Yes. My mother, my father, my grandmother, all of us, we've all been in the theatre for years. My mother had a portable theatre.
Yes. What's the difference between a fit-up and a portable?
Well, a portable theatre you build. A fit-up, you take things into a hall and fit up the stage and the scenery. But with a portable, you build the theatre, you have a great tarpaulin over the top, and you have seats inside, and my mother's theatre was really quite something. And they used to do a concert first, then a play, then a farce, and they changed those 6 times a week.
How long did you play in each town?
Well, it depends if the business was good. Some places they would play for 6 months, some places for only a few weeks, some places for 3 months.
But in 6 months you must have got through an incredible number of plays.
They certainly did, and they got through an incredible number of children too, because they never stopped having babies.
Going back to these plays, what were they? All sorts?
All sorts. They did Shakespeare, the classics, they did Eastland, Ten Nights in a Barroom, these wonderful old melodramas.
A lot of them must have been improvised, have you?
Well, a lot of them were, because my mother had the greatest and that's me off, she used to say.
How old were you when you made your first appearance?
Well, I was carried on when I was 3 weeks old in Uncle Tom's cabin with Eliza. When she's crossing the ice, I was the baby. We all were, you know, they always put them on in case they had to go in the business, and they all did.
Yes. And your first speaking part?
I think I was about 3 years old, and it was a play called Queen's Evidence. And I said, my father didn't tell you to say that, and burst into tears, and I was furious because I didn't get a laugh.
Oh, dear. What area did your mother's portable play in?
Well, it was all in South Wales.
You were born there?
Yes, we were all born there. As my mother said, when they say, when did you have your children? She said, in a long wait.
How many were you?
Six. Mm-hmm. Six of us all. You know, one night she would be playing a big fat lady running around the stage. The next night, and about 3 weeks later, she would return playing Josephine in The Royal Divorce.
Was there a good living in the portable, or was
it... Oh, yes, yes, they did. It was very hard work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a fantastic time. I can't remember so much about it, but my sister Betty and Wynne, I mean, they remember more about it. And, you know, it was unbelievable what they did and what they got through.
How long did you stay with the portable?
Well, my mother had it for... I was about 2 or 3 when it blew down, you see, and then she just left it there and we all moved on.
Doing what?
Well, I went into juvenile troops, and my mother and my sister did a sort of three-handed, rather terrible variety act, and they went all over the place then.
Doris, looking back, do you feel that you regret your childhood, that you wish you'd had a normal childhood?
Oh, no. No, you see, it was very exciting.
Did you have any schooling?
Oh, no, I went for 3 weeks in Cwmfelin Fach in Wales, and I learned God Bless the Prince of Wales, which helped me out under many, many, many times when I've been to these Welsh reunions, you see.
When did you first play in London?
When I was about seven, at the Palace Theatre, Walthamstow, in a play called Kate Till Kingdom Come, with a most wonderful actress called Grace Warner, who I used to go in and whitewash her back. You know, they used to wet wipe themselves in those days, the ladies. And she used to teach me how to use my hands, how to come on the stage, she was fantastic. She used to knock the bottle back a bit too, but you know.
Well, for some years it was touring revues.
Yes.
And you played overseas as well.
Yes, I went to South Africa and Australia with Henry de Bray and doing variety. And played all up and down the country, everywhere.
What was your first break, your big break?
Well, my first big break was when I came... I was in a variety show, and I came to the Home and Empire. Mm-hmm. And Frank Collins, who was Cochrane's manager, came to see Sid Seymour. Sid Seymour wasn't there and saw me. I did impersonations. I did all sorts of things. And, of course, when he saw the hat on the piano, the straw hat, Chevalier, all the various bits and bobs on the piano... He thought, my God, she's going to do impersonations, and I did. And I did them, and I also did a Jewish one. Well, now, at that time, not being Jewish, to do a Jewish impersonation at the Holborn Empire. It took a bit of courage, but he loved it. He rang my agent the next morning and said, I saw a kid last night, Doris Hare. I'd like her to come and do an audition for Noel Kahn. And I went along, and I did the audition for Noel, and I got Words and Music.
Words and Music, his review. That, of course, was vintage Coward. He was at the height of his career then.
It was glamour. I think, really, it was just the end of the glamorous period. We had the 12 Children of the Ritz, who were so beautiful, these girls. They really did come in Rolls Royces. Mm-hmm. And everything about it was beautiful. Noel doing his best, and he wrote me the best song I've ever had in my life, Three White Feathers.
Yes.
And, of course, we did Mad Dogs and Englishmen in it. Mm-hmm. And it was such a success. It was beautiful to be in.
After that, I remember you in two of the funniest reviews I've ever seen, both at the Comedy Theatre, How Do You Do and...
Hi Diddle Diddle.
Hi Diddle Diddle.
When I was in that, Emlyn Williams saw me in this review and rang me up and asked me if I'd like to play Mrs. Terence in Night Must Fall and go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the idea of going to New York, which had been my dream, and my brother Bertie was in it with me. My sister Betty was with Noel Kahn and Gertie Lawrence in Tonight at 8:30 in New York, and the three of us met in New York.
Yes.
Oh, it was simply marvellous.
Was Night Must Fall a success in the States?
Well, no, not really. It should have been, but of course it was oversold. But the most wonderful thing that when I was in New York was the fact that I met up again with Jean Sablon.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been the first to introduce him in this country in a Charlot hour.
Yes, on BBC.
On BBC. And we were both in New York, both doing radio programs. And it was marvellous. We had great fun. We went everywhere together.
When the war started, you went into another Cochrane show, another Cochrane review.
Yes, a lovely review called Lights Up, with Evelyn Leigh, Martin Green, Cliff Mollison, and a whole lot of us. And it was during that time, it was wartime, when we were the first to go up. There was no entertainment up for the Navy up at Scapa Flow. And Evelyn Leigh, who was and is a fabulous person, arranged for us to be flown up to the Navy. And we got in to the smallest aeroplane I've ever seen. I don't know how it ever took off. I think we were the only thing that was up that day. And we were all given paper bags, which were all very jolly. And we had to change planes. And Boo had taken all her lovely clothes and flowers and things for everybody. I'd got a little fringe dress and a bit of Woolworths makeup. And we changed planes. And when we got to Hoy, the plane had gone back to Edinburgh with all Boo's beautiful clothes and makeup, all the presents. And she looked at me as when we got into this very strange place we dressed in and said, and to think, I've come all this way and I'm going to sing to the sailors in the face I've been sick in. And that night, we did the concert. And I'll never forget, it was the most wonderful thing, a hangar filled with sailors.
Yes. You had a lot to do with sailors during the war, right through the war, didn't you?
Yes, and I had my lovely Merchant Navy sailors.
Yes, shipmates ashore.
That's it.
Well, you were the sweetheart of the Merchant Navy all those years.
Yes, bless them. I love them.
Now, after those wartime years of broadcasting and raising a family, you went back to the theatre.
Yes.
One of the musical plays written by A.P. Herbert and
Water Gypsies.
Yes,
that's right. That was tremendous fun to do. I did that with we did a wonderful dance in that, which used to stop the show every night. It was great fun.
With dear Jerry Verner.
Yes, that's it.
What else do you remember?
And then I did Valmath, which was a lovely, marvellous play, way ahead of its time. And I played a lady of 120.
And you've done a lot of straight work, of course.
Yes, I was with the Royal Shakespeare Company. I did Pinter, Shakespeare. I wasn't very good in Shakespeare. I brush over that. But we did all the most wonderful plays. And then I also went over to the National and I did Heartbreak House, Trelawney of the Wells. Oh, marvellous. It was really tremendous fun doing all those straight plays. Mm-hmm. They're much easier than doing comedy, you know.
And you've played at Chichester for several seasons?
Yes, that was lovely too. I love Chichester.
And you've been in a very successful television series.
Yes, On the Buses.
On the Buses.
Darling, On the Buses. I love it. We had tremendous fun doing it. And it's so lovely when you have a programme like that that everybody knows you and says, oh, hello, Mum, how you going on, girl? All right.
Yes, and you did some film versions.
Yes, we've done three films of it, still going around.
And now you're in a West End comedy that looks as if it's going to run forever.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm in it and it's lovely. No sex, please, we're British. And I'm going to be there for another year. It's simply marvellous.
Yes, you're going to take a bit of time off to go to an island or two, I guess.
Yes, I'm going to the Caribbean for a lovely holiday.
Doris, you've done everything in your career, it seems. Is there anything you haven't done that you really still want to do?
Well, I suppose if anybody asked me to do something that I really would like, I would love to do restoration, because there's such marvellous parts, those lovely ladies and those restoration pieces with all those clothes and things and lovely lines, too.
You never know who may be listening.